Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free. Little stones are smooth. You might pick me up and notice that I am. See, I'm not what I used to be. You might pick me up and notice that I am. Lord, I'm just a little
Bridget Bryant, Rolling River God. I just want to be a little bit smoother, but I am a work in progress. As I embrace all the change that I'm moving through and growing through and going through, I just let life support me on my transformation. Rolling River God, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. And in my surrender, I get to experience my freedom because I get to embody and know and realize and recognize that I am indeed free, that I can let go of control, that it's okay to let go, to stop being the supervisor of the universe. There's so much more going on that is bigger than what I can fathom with my physical eyes as I roll on with the Rolling River God. That's Bridget Bryant. To find out more about her, her website address is simply that, BridgetBryant.com. Let's just breathe in the breath of life, the breath of God, right here, right now, reminding ourselves on a deep level that all is truly well. Everything else is just a little drama that we create to keep life exciting. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you are here. You make a difference because you are that place, that space, where God gets to recognize himself, herself, itself. You are God in action. You are love in action. You are happiness in action. You are joy in action. You are what you're looking for. You are what you're seeking. But you know, if you already knew that, if you came to this planet with that awareness, you did, but if you have that conscious awareness that you are love, that you are all that you desire right now, there will be no point for you being here. You know, can you imagine going to a movie and they show you how it's going to end? You know, what would be the point? You get to see the storyline. So there's all this suspense. So we're just, it's a universal movie. It's a suspense that, oh my God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But guess what? You are the hero. You're always going to be back. Yes, I'll be back no matter what happens. No matter what happens, you'll be back. And a body or in the ethers, you are going to be back. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Whoa. Stop multitasking. On LifeConversationsRadio.com. There it is. I'm multitasking. Yeah, I wanted to have something in the background. Just Karen Drucker to just remind us that all is well. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. I am here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All is well. Life Coach Ade, you're here to 2 p.m. It's okay. You can do it. I'm sure you can find something to say. Yes. And all the shows are archived. It's archived on the Blog Talk Radio page and also on iTunes, so you can download it. And we have other shows on here which I've been telling you about as well, Life Conversations Radio Network. A lot of changes going on, updating websites, trying to catch up with a lot of stuff. But we're going and growing with the flow. I want to say happy Independence to you. Tomorrow is Independence Day. But this month, we're focusing on freedom. So we're celebrating, standing with you, declaring your freedom right now, even with all the changes that are going on in your life. That we know there is a part of you that is so free, that transcends circumstances, that transcends your story, belief system, that is always free. So when we take the time to be still, breathe in, relax, we can really know that all is truly well. All is truly well, you know. Just hold on to this roller coaster of life. If it wasn't a roller coaster, we'd be bored anyway. That's it. I'm getting out of here. It's the roller coaster experience that keeps us on this planet. Especially today, we're talking about relationships. All the mess, all the stories, all the ideas that are keeping us stuck, keeping us unhappy. Well, we got the Mythbuster in the house. It's time to get real. It's time to stop playing small. It's time to show up. It's time to step into your big self and say, right, wait a minute. I choose to be happy. I am in charge of my own happiness. I know you're a mind reader, but right now you just don't want to read my mind. But I choose to be happy. We'll talk more about that with Tim Ray is in the house. We can hear him now loud and clear. Thank God for God. That's all I got to say. So much to cover. He's the author of 101 Relationship Myths. We'll talk more about that. Let me give you some announcements. I want to welcome all of you in the chat room, on the phone line. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you, Electra. Yes, now we're on fire. Everything is moving on and on. Thank you for those of you listening on the archive. Thank you for tuning in. Because when you tune in, you connect with intuition. And you get all the information, all the guidance, all the wisdom you need to navigate this journey called life. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad for your questions, comments, and whatever, like I used to say, your fears, your doubts, whatever you want to share with us, we're ready. The Mythbusters in the house, Life Coach Ade is in the house. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, we got you. Bring it. And if you want to tell the story you don't want us to know is you, you can say, well, a friend of mine has this issue, and we'll support your friend. And hopefully, when we support your friend, it would, part of it would rubber from you. And yes, you can post your questions on the At Life Coach Ade fan page. At Life Coach Ade fan page. And all is well. All is well. And if you don't do Facebook or can't get on Facebook right now, all is well. You can go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. LifeConversationsMedia.com. As you can see, just pardon the dust. There's a lot of changes going on. But if you click the Ask Life Coach Ade tab, underneath that, there's one that says Ask Ade, and right there, just fill in the email, and then, you know, if you don't want us to mention your name, we won't mention your name. And so, what else do I need to tell you? Tomorrow, I won't be here for a live show. Actually, that won't be a reason. I won't be here tomorrow. Well, but there'll be the archive, so I'll be here, kind of, sort of. But Here to Inspire with Aisha is here. We'll be here. Aisha will be here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. Here to Inspire is every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you join Aisha. And I'm taking a I'm taking an opportunity, well, advantage actually, of the celebration of the Independence Day. I need a little break. I'm going to enjoy myself. What else do I need to tell you? On Thursday, I have a wonderful guest joining me. Her name is Robin Harris, and she is traveling around America. I think she's going to do the international thing too, in her car, just going from one state to the other. And then, you know, she's just kind of growing, learning, and meeting different people. She just decided one day she had to move, and she wasn't quite sure where she was going to go. And she said, you know what? I'm going to put all my stuff in the car, and I'm just going to travel. I don't know where I'm going to end up. Now, talk about freedom. That freedom. The freedom to choose, the freedom to travel, the freedom to be you and do you. Anything else I need to tell you? Well, just check out our website. We're updating it. Bear with us. So much is going on. My website, Life Coach ID, is being updated as well. So let's jump into this conversation. Let's talk about relationships. Let's see. What do I need to do? I need to do this. And I need to do that. And now, so I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to play all this song. It's just something that I need to do so I can do something else. And you want to know what I'm doing? Don't worry about it. It would hurt your head if I tell you everything that I'm doing. You'd be like, okay, already. In the meantime, let's listen to Esther Nicholson, and we'll be back with Tim Ray, one of the one whole of the Beam Team. We'll be right back.
I once heard a powerful story about a man who stood at his truth with such conviction in who he was. He would not be moved. Someone stepped out of the crowd and said, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He said, "Yes, I am." And the well-dressed man spit on him. King took out his handkerchief and wiped the hate from his suit. He gave it back.
I believe that authentic love belongs to you. Esther Nicholson. We're here to lift you up, support you on your journey of life. Yes, yes, yes. Let's jump into the conversation. This is Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you. I believe this belongs to you. Esther Nicholson, E-S-T-E-R, Nicholson, N-I-C-H-C-H-O-L-S-O-N.com. And earlier we played Karen Drucker, KarenDrucker.com. We started the show with Bridget Bryant. Rolling River God, BridgetBryant.com. I just love it when people keep things simple. And Glenda.com. It's nice to see Glenda in the house. And all the other silent listeners, this guy's guest, Vanilla Smile. Are you smiling? Are you in Seattle, I heard? I heard you're in Seattle. I wonder why sometimes. I'm like, how is this woman up in UK time? But I guess you, and now I understand. Anyway, let's get ready to bring on Tim Ray. Get ready to be beamed up in consciousness, to be set free from your own story, to feel the presence and power of God right here, right now on Life Conversations Radio. Let's read a little bit about Tim. Tim, an American author, has a long track record of working actively with people on important life issues. He has been teaching, working privately with clients, writing books for almost 20 years, and has a dedicated audience. He calls his work Getting Real. By this, he means how to live a happy life by waking up to the nature of reality and the way the mind works. Just stop right there. You can be set free by just taking that in, understanding how the mind works. Because the mind, oh Lord, that's a mind. I've been in Atlanta too long. The mind would trip you up if you allow it. But if you understand it, you can trip it up. It's like, no thank you. Myth busted. Is an important part of this process in which Tim helps people identify and investigate the thoughts and beliefs that make them unhappy. Tim's new book, 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness, offers plenty of relationship myth-busted. Tim works closely with his mother, Barbara Berger, who we interviewed, I think it was last month. Just a beautiful soul. I could feel her presence right now. Just so gentle. But anyway, and together they have shared their getting real observations and tools in Denmark and other countries for many years. Tim also loves a really good tale, and he's the author of the novel Star Brow, A Spiritual Adventure and a Star Warrior, A Spiritual Thriller. Both books combine an exciting adventure story with vital insights into the nature of consciousness and mind. The novel has so far been released in Danish, English, and Dutch. So what I didn't tell you guys, Tim and I will be speaking a different language. No, he's going to speak in his language. Is it Danish? Yeah, it's Danish. I think it is. See, I'm messing my own joke up. And I would interpret, no, he's not. He's speaking in English. Or else he would just say crickets. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful friend, my brother, myself, Tim Ray.
Whoa. What a welcome.
Yes.
Life Coach Abby
welcome
in the house.
That.
Tim Ray in the house.
Tim Ray's in the house.
Sounds like a party. Sounds like a party.
It sounds like
here.
A party. I know that's right. Oh, wait, guess what? Two brothers talking about relationships. What do we know about relationships? They're getting ready to find out.
I guess we're going to find out, right? We're going to throw ourselves into the rolling river of God and see where it takes us, right?
I know that's right.
I know that's right. So if our edge is not smooth enough, we can just ask for forgiveness from the listeners.
Exactly. Thank you so much. You know, I'm thrilled to be talking to you, not least because I actually went to high school in Atlanta, Georgia, when I was about 17, 18, in the late 80s.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It's really a trip for me to be connecting in this way, if nothing else, on the radio. So it's fantastic. Life is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Welcome home and all this connection, you know.
Thank you. So much is happening. It's
letting us know that we are connected, and wherever we are in the world, we can still communicate and connect and share together. It's amazing. It's a wonderful time to be alive. And so here's the first question I want to ask you. I have some other thoughts flying in my head, but I'll save them right now. It's a party in my head. Sometimes people know what goes on in my head. Y'all will pass compassion for me. It gets too busy in there sometimes.
I know the feeling. There's a lot of voices can be going on at the same time, right?
Oh, my God, yes. If I wasn't doing this radio show, I don't know what I would be like. I would have exploded. So right now I just need to tell them, can y'all keep it down, please? You take one person at a time. Right now, it's me. Okay, great. All right, so it's Tim and I. Okay,
Tim and I.
Tim. Here's the first question I want to ask you. I read a little bit about you from your bio. I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view. Who are you? Who is Tim Ray?
I just love that question. I have to admit that this is one of my favorite questions, and I ask myself that question all the time. Who am I? And actually, it's funny that you say that, because that's really, you know, trying to find the answer to that question is really what has started me on my journey of getting real. I call it getting real, you know, and it's really about trying to find the answer to that question. Who am I, and what is this thing called life, and where do I fit in, and how does it all hang together? I have to say, for me, the answer to that is continually expanding as my understanding of life and the nature of reality evolves. If I were to give you my answer this very moment, if I were to surrender to the rolling river of God, I would have to say that I am God, you are God. We're all God. It's all God. This existence and consciousness, which is, you know, everywhere present, all powerful, omniscient, which is unconditional love and peace and life. That's what I am. That's what you are. So right now, it's God having a conversation with God. And
I know that.
You know, and the listeners are God too. We're all God. You know, a God party.
Oh, I love it. You know, when you talk about everything is God, God is, for me, I believe God is the only thing happening, regardless of how I see it, how I define it, how I interpret it. And you know,
yeah, I love that. God is the only thing happening. Totally.
Only
agree.
Thing happening.
Yeah,
it's the only thing that is happening. If I'm feeling pain, if I'm feeling joyful, God is the only thing happening. I mean, and for me, I'm just committed to really embodying that. So there are times when I feel like something else is happening, but I got to remind myself, God is the only thing that is happening. Love is the only thing that is happening. Life is the only thing that's happening, you know, and trust in that process. You know, this question, I can't even remember when I start, when I started asking my guest that question, but I don't know. I can't remember what triggered it. I know it's been years and years, but and the more I ask the question, the more, for me, when I listen to what listeners, the guests say, it's like, wow. And then sometimes, because I'm in this, I'm the person asking the question, I'm not even thinking about the question I'm asking. I'm just listening to what's coming up. And then sometimes a guest will say, who are you? And I'm like, wait a minute, let me think about that. You know, the truth is, your book, 101 Relationship Myths, and talks about how to start the subtitle, how to stop them from sabotaging your happiness. And I think that's the most important thing. When we understand who we are, when we can say for ourselves who we are, that would help us. And your book is about that, really getting to know ourselves, getting to understand how the mind works and consciousness, right?
Absolutely, that's exactly what the book is about. I mean, as you say, we are God. We are this unlimited existence and consciousness and love. And at the same time, when we look at it, we can also see that sometimes, and for some of us, a lot of the time, we don't have that experience. We feel depressed and upset and unhappy, for example, in our relationships or in our romantic relationships. And the question, of course, is, well, why? Why do we, if we're love, if we're God, well, why do we sometimes feel unhappy and depressed? And I've spent a lot of time investigating and exploring and working with that question, especially when it comes to relationships, because that, both for me personally, but also with the many people that I've worked with over the years, I can see that this is one of the areas where we, a lot of the time, really feel frustrated and unhappy. So I've spent a lot of time exploring that question. And what I have found out over the years is that the basic cause of our relationship problems or any kind of problems that we have is that we innocently are believing a lot of stories about life and about relationships and about love and sex and commitment and men and women that has very little to do with the reality of life and relationships. And when we believe these stories, well, then we get frustrated and we get unhappy and we suffer. So what I've done in my new book is that I have identified a lot of what I would call the classic relationship stories that I have encountered in my life and that I've heard from my clients and from everywhere around me. I've identified these stories, and then once I've done that, then I subject each story to what I call relationship myth-busting or reality testing, where I look at, well, is this relationship story really true? Is it true or is it false? Is it reality or is it just a myth? And if it is a myth, something that's driving us crazy and making us unhappy, well, what would we be like to live more in harmony with the reality of how relationships really are, of how love really is? And so that's really what the book is about, it's my investigation of these relationship myths. But also, very importantly, I try also to share with the reader how the reader himself or herself can do this myth-busting, this relationship myth-busting themselves, because that's also very important to me in my work. I mean, that's why it's called self-help, right? It's empowering people. I always say to people when they come to my lectures, don't believe what I say just because I say it. Test it for yourself, and then you can draw your own conclusions, and you can see that, hey, it's actually true. There is a connection between our thinking and our experience, and there is a difference between reality and our thinking and the things that I write about.
There's so much in there. I'm listening to you just like, yes, yes, yes. But what I want to do, I want to just go back a little bit and something that we're talking about. And I know that even in a spiritual community, there's something about this idea of I am God that makes us feel like, wait, that's pushing. And that goes with the belief system, things we've learned, how we've been conditioned. Just for the benefit, I mean, there are people who kind of get it intellectually. And there are times, for me, I think there's a time that I still feel like I am God. I feel like, yeah, I got it. But then there's a part of me that feels like, I'm working with it. It's something about fully embodying that idea, that truth. When you say we are God, when you say I am God, can you break that down, and what do you mean by that?
I love that question, because I think it's very, very important that we look closer in that, so it's not just a matter of us saying I am God or thinking that I am God, but really getting a little closer to it even, so that it becomes not just sort of a mental or verbal thing, but a real tangible experience. So for me, the word God is for me a synonym with reality, and reality for me is that which is. And if we look at that which is, we'll see that there is existence. I mean, there is life. You and I, we're actually alive. We exist, right? And not only do we exist, but we're also conscious that we exist, right? So for me, those are two of the primary, I would call, qualities of God or life, is this existence and this consciousness. then if we look further, we can also see, for example, I think another important aspect of life, reality, God, is also that it's love. That it's not just life and consciousness, but it also has this quality of love. And how do we know that it's love? Well, one of the things that for me makes me see that it's love is that one of the things we can see when we look closer at this thing called life, we can see that it is infinitely spacious. In other words, it embraces and holds everyone and everything. Nothing is condemned or left out. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't matter if you're thick or thin, rich or poor, depressed or enlightened. Everyone is completely, unconditionally contained by life. And that's love to me, this infinite acceptance and containment. So that tells me that life or God is also love. Another way that I can see that life or God is love is that I can see that everything in life supports everything else, that life is infinitely supporting of us. For example, right this moment, just notice all the things in this very moment that are supporting you. For example, the chair that you're sitting on, the floor underneath your feet, the clothes that you're wearing, the air flowing in and out of your body, the roof over your head, the sun, the sky, this technology that is enabling us to talk together. Actually, if you look around you cannot actually find a single thing in your life, in your surroundings, that is not supporting you unconditionally. All of life is this amazing unconditional support system. So that also tells me that God is love. So for me, that would be some of the main aspects of God or life would be this existence and this consciousness and then this love, this unconditional acceptance and support.
Yes, yes. I just love the way you explain that because I can just sit and lean into what you're sharing and really, I feel it, not just in feel, I do feel it. It's because, I want, God is the only thing happening and everything is God, but because of language, I want to say God is not in the intellect, but God is. But if you really want to feel that and feel that statement, as you were saying, just kind of sit back and see how you're being supported. You feel it more on a feeling nature, just kind of
exactly. It becomes much more concrete and tangible and less abstract when you look at it in that way. Okay, everything is God, but the table, the chair, the air, the clothes, it's support. It's holding me, embracing me. So it doesn't matter where you are in life. You could be have not a penny in your pocket, or you could be an ultra billionaire, but still we're all equally supported in this moment.
Yes. It's funny because as we talk, I'm realizing more and more the importance for us to really get this. So that way, this truth, this awareness helps us to be myth-busted in our own relationships. So, because when we recognize and remember who we are, we can be compassionate where things are not going well. We can be compassionate when we're looking for our partners, our mate, our husband, our wife to make us happy and say, oh, wait a minute, I got this twisted. Let me lean back into who I really am. Let's dive into your book. So you have this book called 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness. And you have some interesting chapters out there.
thank you. It was a lot of fun writing it, I'll tell you that.
I know you were laughing so hard when you were coming up with some of the chapters. You were like, this is going to stir some things up. Let's stir some things up. Now, majority of my listeners, I have a high number of females, so... Ooh, you better back this up correctly. You said stay away from women in their 30s. What do you mean by that? Come on. That's the best time. Anyway.
that is one of the chapters that has definitely gotten the most response from readers, both male and female.
Well, you have to walk around with security.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But what I was trying to actually highlight with this chapter is that the way I see it is we have in our society, we have, a huge amount of very, very unrealistic expectations to what it takes to be okay and to be happy. And these unrealistic expectations, they hit both men and women of all ages. But one of the things that I've also noticed, anyway, especially here in Denmark and Scandinavia where I live, is that these unrealistic expectations also often seem to hit women when they get to be in their 30s, you know, the hardest. And I've really wondered about that. You know, why is it that when a lot of women get to be in their 30s, it's just, I call it, you know, the becomes a sort of the female version of the Iron Woman, Sex in the City meets House and Garden, you know, trying to live up to this long, long list of, you know, have to be, you know, have the perfect body and the perfect relationship and the perfect kids and the perfect designer clothes and, you know, on and on and on. So I've noticed that this is happening, and this is also from my own experience. You know, I've been in a relationship with a woman in her 30s or two, and so I've wondered at that. And what I have, sort of my conclusion is that it has to do with several aspects. And one aspect that I think it has to do with is the fact that it's women who have children, you know, the biological aspect. You know, it's not men. And that for a woman, you know, when she's in her 30s, you know, the biological clock starts ticking, and when she gets to be around 40, well, then it's soon going to be game over in terms of having children. And that of course, right, adds an extra component of pressure to a lot of women that men, by their very nature, don't have. So I think that's one aspect. Another aspect, I think, has to do with the historical background, which is that up until recently in our society, you know, women were denied their freedom and their expression in most areas of life. You know, they couldn't vote, they couldn't be involved in politics, couldn't work, couldn't be financially independent, couldn't be involved in religion and so on. The only area where they actually really had some say was actually, you know, relationships. And I think that in past times, of course, led very understandably to a very strong degree of identification with relationship, because that's, you know, pretty much what you had. And I think that even though today, at least in our Western world, that, you know, women are much more free and you know, can express themselves and have freedom in most areas on an equal footing with men, I still think that on a subconscious level, this very strong identification with relationships being such a great part of my identity is still somewhere there in the back of the minds for women, more so than it is for men. And I think if you put all that together, the historical background, the biological aspect, well, then it's no surprise, you know, that a lot of women feel a lot of pressure when they get to be in their 30s. So that's what that chapter is really about.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because, you know, you and I were talking about the idea, the truth, the awareness that we are God, that we are that place where God gets to recognize itself. And if we don't understand ourselves, or we don't spend time to be with ourselves, then we'll take meaning and interpretation from other people, or from society, from the magazines that you talk about in your book. But as you were talking, I was thinking, how does that, you know, the relationship between, in your book, and correct me if I'm wrong, you talk about relationship between men and women, but does this myth that we have about romantic relationship, how does it play out from your work? How do you see it playing out in same-sex relationships?
I think one of the main relationship stories that I have encountered that makes so many people unhappy, and which I've really spent a lot of time myth-busting and doing reality testing on, is this idea that the love that I seek is outside of myself and that it's dependent on another person, whether that person is a man or a woman. And if we go back to the nature of reality, what we've just been talking about, which is actually that the love that we seek and that we want is actually our nature, is what we are right now. And, you know, nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from us. If we look at that compared to this story, that the love that I seek is outside of myself and dependent on another human being, we can see how false it is, you know, because there's just no connection between the reality and that story. And also, if we look at the consequence of believing this story, that the love that I seek is dependent on another human being, what we see is that actually so much of our relationship trouble and unhappiness actually is comes from this belief, all the jealousy and the aggression and the miscommunication and the manipulation and all the things that actually really sour the relationships between men and women. So, and conversely, we can also see that if we no longer believe this story, that the love that I seek or the love that I am is, you know, dependent on this other person, what would it be like to be in a relationship? And I think, you know, when I ask people that question and they start sort of experimenting it with it themselves, you know, the answer is always they would be, would we just be so much more peaceful and loving and kind, because suddenly a relationship would no longer be a question of two sort of halves or two people with a hole in themselves trying to get another person to fill that hole. A relationship would be about two whole people, you know, just walking hand in hand down the path of life for a while and enjoying each other's company. So there's a world of difference between the reality and that story. So that's one of the one of the important things that I work with is you in order to do a bit myth busting, you know, we also have to, you know, get real and wake up to the true nature of us as human beings.
Right. And, you know, when you're talking about waking up to the reality and myth-busted, I think it's important as well, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, to really understand that we bring stories into a relationship, particularly we're talking about romantic relationships now. We bring stories and judgment and condemnation. We'll bring that. You know, people will say, it's important to work with your issue before you get into a relationship. No. You can't. Your experience helps you to define who you are, to remember who you are. But I think there's a difference in the stories that we bring. If we're bringing in, not looking at it and pretending, you know, I have this analogy, like, you know, it's like going to the airport or meeting at the airport or wherever. You come in and you say, oh, you have no luggage. Oh, no, I don't. And then it starts to check in, right? And then there's one luggage. Oh, you got a carry-on? Yes, I do. And then they say, is that everything? And then, oh, I got this one. And then everybody starts to pull their luggage out. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I got this luggage too. And somehow it's like, wait a minute, how do we have all these luggages in there? Like, well, you didn't tell me about that. But if we can say, listen, I've been hurt, I've had a broken heart, I'm scared. Just the things that stop us from really experiencing life fully, we can all show up and check it into this relationship experience and say, you know, there are things I'm working through, I'm doing my work, but for me, I really believe it's important to use relationship. We did a show called Relationship as a Spiritual Practice, to use it as a spiritual practice, because I really believe that's what it's about.
Absolutely,
it's like using
absolutely.
Relationship to heal us from the pain of the past. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, for me personally, I mean, I can only say that one of my, I mean, in life we have these things, you know, that give us a serious wake-up call and serious learning experiences. And for me, the area for romantic relationships has really been one of the major areas that has really given me serious wake-up calls about myself and you know, about my own thinking and my own issues. So, you know, I sometimes say to people, you know, you don't have to go to India to find a guru or a spiritual teacher. Just look at your partner, you know, and we'll give you everything you need to know to wake up to yourself. So absolutely, it's a huge, huge learning process. And I also think it's important to, like you said, that it's an ongoing process, this thing. And I also want to say about my book and about relationship myth busting, I mean, it's not a miracle pill. It is like all good things, you know, all worthy things in life. You know, it does take some time and some persistence and some dedication, and it's a process. And you get some more clarity, and then that clarity then makes you aware of some other areas where you may be still, you know, a little cloudy in your understanding, and then you work on that and some more. So it's a continual process.
Yeah, you got to be willing to do the work. That's what I say. You know, it doesn't matter how you join up in a relationship with it. If you don't really know who you are, as long as you're willing to do the work. We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, I want to talk about spirituality and romantic relationships. Because I meet so many people, particularly females who been doing their spiritual work, and somehow there's this there's a sense of I'm lacking a mate. Now, it doesn't mean that they're saying, oh, I'm not whole, but it's like I can't find anybody that's
that's spiritual, or the man that I'm meeting are not there. You know, there's almost like something is missing. Sometimes I had a conversation with a friend a few days ago, and it's like, what is really going on? Is there an unrealistic expectation of men when we're talking about the man and woman romantic relationship when it comes to opposite sex? Maybe there's an unrealistic expectation that is causing females not to see. We men have our own stuff, but ladies, females are conditioned to be the, you know, it's almost like the prize that a man will win over, and hopefully they'll get picked. So I want to talk about how you see spirituality and romantic relationship, and what could help the listeners in really blending that, as opposed to saying, well, I'm not ready yet, I don't think I'll find, you know, just using what we know against us, rather than use it against ourselves, to use it for ourselves.
Good question.
When we come back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guest is Tim Ray, shining some light, some sunshine on you, on your consciousness, so you can know who you really are. And to find out more about Tim, his website address is Beam Team. That's BEAMTEAM.com. That's a website with his website and his mom's, Barbara Berger, who we interviewed last month. And yeah, check out their website. Our number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. What is your magic pill? What's the magic pill that you're waiting for? Do you have some unrealistic expectations? Or maybe you think, no, I know I don't have a realistic expectation. It's the other people that have unrealistic expectations. I just don't have time for it. I got to meditate. 347-426-3346. What are your thoughts on relationships? Do you think, you know, we're too serious? Call in or share your questions. Excuse me. On the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, we're going to take a break. Okay, slow down. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and deal with that question of spirituality and romantic relationship, and then we're going to do Celestial Moment. And right now, we just want to remind ourselves that we are truly one. We need each other. We'll be right
Do
back.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now, do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Have courage, make that move in consciousness. Remember that we are one. We are going to do celestial moment, and I'm going to come back to that question. I'm getting instant message saying, "Oh, I can't wait for the answer to that question." So, team, you're going to have to bring it. You're going to have to bring it real good. But before you answer the question, we got celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. Tim Ray is the author of 101 Relationship Myths: How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness. And his website address is beamteam.com. That's beamteam.com. Him and his mother are beaming folks up and helping you transcend and transform and recognize the truth of who you are. It's time for celestial moment. Oh, closer to one today than ever before. And yes, let me pull up Celeste's song, because she might fire me if I bring her on without the music. She said, "Don't you bring me up without my music." I just, no, she doesn't say that. You guys know I'm making it up. His destiny, the harpist from the herd. This is Grace, and it's time for celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know I never use my voice in that type of harmful tone. Hey, Tim, welcome. And you know what? I didn't see anybody in the chat room that I wanted to shout out to, so I'm not going to shout out to Electra or Mother Wit or Vanilla Smile or Tanner, Spiritual Midwife, and Teresa. Yeah. And, I didn't shout out, so you can't get mad at me about that.
Don't shout out anybody. We don't do shout out. Don't shout out Paul Saggy and the guests. We don't do shout out.
See?
But if we did, I understand you, but don't do no shout out. Okay. Got it.
No, right. We can't do that. And I'm also not going to embarrass Tim Ray by wishing him a happy belated birthday, Cancer Man.
Oh, yay. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tim. Happy belated birthday.
Yes, this is what happens when somebody has that energy, that mother energy, and expresses it. Well done. Appreciate what you're sharing today. I'm going to, like, hold my comment about the 30 comment, but it's okay. I still have a open heart for you. I mean, I'm not in my 30s, but, you know, we all needed a little bit more gentleness during that time, so maybe you have the key to help us do that. And how are you, life coach, today?
I am good. I'm enjoying this conversation and two brothers talking about relationships, because y'all think we don't know nothing about relationships. So
I can't imagine why we would think that. Maybe we get more brothers to, you know, tune in and check it out, and, you know, there'll be more healing in the universe for all of us, you know. So with that said, I do not want to hold up any more time, because trust me, I am waiting for that answer to the next question. So good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. It's the full moon in Capricorn and a beautiful opportunity to check your plans and to release and let go. It's Tuesday, July 3rd, 2012. When we add the date, we get 2022. Add 2022 and the energy of the day equals 6. 6 is the peace lover. It represents full expansion and expression. This number is also ruled by Venus. Our sixth chakra is our third eye chakra, and it provides the gift of clear sight. 6 also shows up as the Lovers in tarot, and Mother Peace tarot describes it as a magnetic charge between parts of a person wanting to come together, or it is the Lovers wanting to unite with each other, the blending of the sacred feminine and masculine. The sixth letter of the alphabet is S, and words like fortitude, freedom, and focus connect us to the magical power of 6. The snake also shows up as the number 6 in medicine cards, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Ah, dear snake, the most misunderstood of creatures, and we don't like it when it glides into our life, even though it's one of the oldest symbols of the goddess and healing. There are those who still call it the devil. But the devil is lived backwards, and that serves as a reminder to us all. Lived. That's life in the past tense, and we gain our power by living in the moment. The true sin is to stay so rooted in the past that we hold on to our erroneous beliefs. So let's break those myths today to experience the freedom of the snake's sacred gift, which is transmutation through fire. Let's burn away the fear. Abracadabra, it's time for magic. Snake, come crawling. There's fire in your eyes. Bite me, excite me, I'll learn to realize. The poison transmuted brings eternal flame. Open me to heaven and heal me again. The power of snake medicine is the power of creation, for it embodies sexuality, psychic energy, alchemy, reproduction, and ascension. Snake medicine teaches us how to transmute pain and receive the lessons of change through the shedding of its skin. Birth, death, rebirth, to be made whole once again when you incorporate snake teachings. The snake does not come to hurt. Remember, dear ones, the cure is in the venom. Allow it to burn away your old stories of loss and heartache. Start a new chapter, trusting that all is well. And that's the story of 6 told through our friend the snake through medicine cards. I'll see you around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste. You so just bring it. I mean, it's amazing how everything just ties together. Today's numbers, 6, the Lovers, snakes, and that's really, you know, this is when they show, is it the healing symbol with 2 snakes intertwined? You know, that's what relationship is about. We come together and not poison one another, but grow together. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my sister. Appreciate you.
My
Celeste, your moment. Yo. Celestial moment comes to you every day around 1. I think I'm going to do something with that. It's going to be something I'll play. No. Anyway, let me stop messing with Celestial. Get back to the show and talk to Tim. Tim was ready and full and ready to download some more information. And in his book, there's actually a conversation where it says a relationship, the work of the devil. It's just so perfect how things work out. But so, Tim, let's go to this idea of, you know, what I was saying earlier, spirituality and romantic relationships.
this, because it seems to me that people, particularly females, now men were not always expressive, and I know brothers who said, you know, I just don't know, yeah, I'm not into all this, you know, they call it all kind of different titles, but there's always this thing about when we're on our spiritual journey, it's and when we mix that with romantic relationship, it's like we get super vigilant or super judgmental, or I don't know what it is. Maybe protecting ourselves. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there, definitely, as I said before, that there's nothing like a close relationship, particularly a romantic relationship, to really, you know, trigger and mirror back to us, you know, our own self and our own thinking and our own behavior and our own blind spots. So I think that's really what happens. Certainly, it's the case in my own personal life. So I think that's a lot of what's going on. And that's also why the prologue of my book is called Our Relationships, the Work of the Devil, because that's, you know, many, many years ago when I was really, really in the throes of relationship hell myself, you know, really mired in my own confused thinking. You know, I threw up my arms at the sky or down at the earth and said, our relationship's the work of the devil. Why does it have to be so hard? So that was, you know, that voice, that cry in the desert for me. But that also then for me led me to really, really, really motivated me to start looking for answers and you know, try to figure out, I mean, does it have to be so hard? Is it just me, you know, or is it everyone else? And what's going on here? So sometimes people ask me, you know, say, well, how did you get into this work? And I say, well, it's the two spirations. It's inspiration and it's desperation, you know. So the inspiration part is this inquisitiveness that I've always had, but my biggest motivator has always been my own desperation, has been my own unhappiness. You know, that really has given me fuel for this inner journey.
Celeste was saying in a celestial moment earlier, the whole thing about the inner venom is the healing. And as you're talking, my take is, in a deeper level, we know that being in a relationship, a romantic relationship with somebody, will bring up stuff we don't even know exists.
Absolutely.
You know, we can say, oh, I'm all together, I'm aligned, I know who I am, I know I've got in action, and I'm just, you know, my life is beautiful. But sometimes we want to be in a relationship, but we just know that if we step into a relationship, there will be some stuff that just rises to the top. And we're like, who brought this in here?
But I mean, we also have to say, I mean, it's not just romantic relationships. I mean, the book that I've written and forever, it applies just as well to people who are single, because if you're single and not in a romantic relationship, life will figure a way of triggering your patterns and your buttons as well. I mean, if it's not your partner, well, then it'll be your boss, right? It'll be your mother-in-law, or it will be, you know, the presidency or whatever, you know, the world situation. So life will trigger your buttons. But that does seem to be also that romantic relationships is really one that really triggers. Maybe it's because with your boss, you know, you can have many problems with your boss, but at least you don't have to go home at night and sleep with him or her, right? But in a relationship, you know, you go home and you sleep together, so it's really, really intimate on many levels.
It's so intimate. It's like just, well, literally, it's not like it is. You're naked in front of somebody. They didn't know anything.
Exactly.
And it takes courage to be naked and not turn the light off. It takes courage, and you can use that in many ways. As a metaphor, it's real. It takes courage to let all your stuff hang out and be okay with it. And because really, the challenge of relationship, the challenge that we have is really about, will somebody love me if they know all my shit? If all my stuff hang out, would they still love me? Would they run from me? Would they still be, you know? And so that fear of not being loved, the fear of not being, the fear of being judged, causes us to run away from
I love that you say that, because that to me is just so true. I mean, that is one of the main fears, you know. If I show myself, if I am myself, will he, will she really love me as I am? But I think an even more important question to answer in that connection is, will I really love myself as I am? You know, because I mean, you know, partners come and go, right? And relationships, they come and go. But the one relationship that you have throughout your life is the relationship that you have with yourself. And a divorce is not a possibility. You know, you go to bed with yourself at night, You wake up with yourself in the morning, and you're always together with yourself. So a really important question, and this is one of the questions that I ask in the book is, well, how is your love relationship with yourself? You know, if you let it all hang out, if you look honestly at yourself, do you embrace yourself with unconditional understanding, compassion, and love? And for most of us, you know, the answer is that a lot of us don't quite do that. We actually have a lot of problems doing that. And often when I work with clients who are, you know, unhappy in their relationships and unhappy because their partner is not living up to what they want or the expectations that they have, one of the exercises that I have them do, and it's one of the exercises I have in the book, is I have them make a list of all the qualities that they would, you know, if they could just shoot for the stars and no limits, you know, what kind of partner would you have if you could have anything you wanted? And then people will say stuff like, you know, he or she would be, you know, a good communicator, you know, unconditionally loving, supportive no matter what happens. And then once they've made that list of the dream partner, well, then I turn it back on them and I say, well, okay, so honestly now, you know, on a scale from, say, 1 to 10, how good are you actually at giving yourself those qualities? How good are you at being a clear communicator with yourself? How good are you at giving yourself that unconditional love and support? And most people, you know, they realize that they have quite a way to go in that department. And so then I say, well, don't you think it would be a good idea to start with working on your relationship with you? You know, because that's actually the good news is that your relationship with you, you know, how, your own attitude to yourself is actually something that's within your power. That's something that you can work on. The way your partner's attitude to you is actually out of your control. I mean, you cannot get inside your partner's head and control his or her thoughts about you or about life, right? I mean, of course you can talk things over, and I'm all for that, but still, after you've done all the talking over and all the communication, you're still, at the end of the day, you're left with yourself. And that's the most important relationship of all. And the good thing, of course, is that the more of an understanding, compassionate, loving relationship you have with yourself, well, the easier it also becomes actually to be understanding and loving towards your partner or anyone in your life.
I love that exercise because it works on many levels. First, it gets to see you, the person doing it, get to see, oh wow, because one, if you understand that what you're asking for, you're not even giving it to yourself, it can bring you into a greater awareness that, oh, if I go into a relationship, then I'll be looking for the person to fill my cup when I don't even know where my cup is, and blame them for not filling my cup. And then the other thing is it brings awareness to if you do end up in a relationship, a romantic relationship, you can go in and say, you know, giving, loving myself is something that I'm working on. There might be some times I might blame you for not loving me, but please, when that happens, just know this is my stuff. It's not you. Just support me to support me to know that, yes, I'm going through some stories. You know, there are things I'm afraid. My father was never around. My mother did this. Just and it, so we go into a relationship knowing our own story, understanding ourselves, rather than saying, okay, does that mean I can't be in a relationship until I work on this stuff? Maybe, maybe not. But we all have to find what works for us. It does. Have you going to say something?
No, I think it's beautifully stated. Absolutely. I love that what you said about, you know, also, again, having a lot of what I also talk about in the book is these unrealistic expectations that we have not only to our partners but also to ourselves. And a lot of what I work with also with clients is what I call psychological maturity. In other words, having a more realistic assessment of ourselves and, you know, not painting this rosy red picture, you know, that I'm perfect and I don't have any problems, nor, you know, going into total self-loathing and self-deprecation, but saying, just like you said, you know, hey, you know, I'm working on my issues, and I have to admit that when you do that and it triggers these thoughts in me and that's difficult for me, but I'm working on it. I mean, that's beautiful, you know, when you can stand there and just say that and own your own humanity.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Own your own humanity. Because yes. when we can own it, when we can speak our own demons, and we can say, listen, I got some monsters in the closet, then we're not afraid if someone sees it. We're not afraid if we're going to be judged.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we have monsters and demons and dragons. We
yeah.
can say,
again,
because
if we don't condemn ourselves for our weaknesses
yes.
and our faults, then when somebody else condemns us, then you can actually see, well, actually, he or she has a problem, right? They're actually in the condemning mood, and they're actually the ones who get to suffer because they're
mm-hmm.
because of their condemnation of us, right? I mean, I can only
yeah.
suffer because of my own self-condemnation. If I come up to you and I honestly share weaknesses or challenges that I have, and you condemn me, who gets to suffer? You get to suffer. I mean, I don't necessarily
mm-hmm.
get to suffer. I only get to suffer if I actually buy into your condemnation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So it's an important part of getting real and the myth-busting process that I describe
mm-hmm.
in the book is becoming more aware of what I call my business and then your business, that my business is my thinking and my stories, and that's what I have to live with, and
yes.
your business is your thinking and your stories, and that's actually what you have to live with, and not get them confused. To be very clear
right.
about that. And it's really, once we learn how to do that, you know, it smoothens out the relationship communications and behavior amazingly.
Mm. Yeah. And it takes courage, you know, because it's an ongoing process. It takes courage
yeah.
to look at our own stuff. For me, I know in my own life, there are things I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't tell anybody at this, but I know that it's important. And it's not about having to tell somebody, but can I tell myself that,
yeah.
dude, you need to work on that. Dude, I mean, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm just realizing there's things in my life that I've been repeating, and the answer to it is developing new habits. It's just do something different.
Mm.
And it's just really do and be consistent with it. Now, sometimes I may skip a day, but it's really being on ourselves and
mm.
really recognizing that unless I am at peace with my own insecurities, then nobody else will be. Nobody else can
mm.
be, you know. And
mm.
and it's just, you said it really, because if someone is criticizing, judging us, it hurts more because we have criticized ourselves
mm,
first.
Exactly. And I have to say, from my own personal experience, that I can see now that's what I've been doing. I think it's also
mm.
important in terms of relationships and communications. It's important to distinguish between criticism and condemnation, because
mm-hmm.
those two things are not always the same. Criticism is just, you know, saying, you know, I think that, you know, that you didn't do that too well. I would prefer if you did it like that. I think that would work better,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not the
mm-hmm.
same as actually condemning you and saying that you're, you know,
right.
a son of a bitch and a worthless son of a
mm-hmm.
gun. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so, but often also what makes us really upset is that we when somebody criticizes us, you know, we immediately go from there to thinking that they're condemning us as well. And I think it's important also to myth bust that. When
yes.
my partner is criticizing me, does that mean that she is actually condemning me? And
right.
you know, most cases, the answer is no, unless he or she is actually really disturbed. And again, as I said before, then it's they are the ones who actually get to suffer.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about being single. Because there's this thing about, you know, as a society, if someone is single, there's a tendency to be like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it gets better. and then the single people are like, well, I'm single. I haven't quite found the right one. And it's like a disease. As if being in a relationship is just the best thing that could ever happen.
Exactly.
You know, and so people actually believe, well, I'm looking for the right one. So what are your thoughts of being single and, you know, choosing to be in a relationship, not to be so that people don't have sympathy for you rather than doing the work?
When you say that, it just makes me think. I want to just read to you this short paragraph from the book that is exactly about what you're saying there. And it's a very short chapter. It's called It's Better to Be in a Relationship Than to Be Single, which actually myth-busts this story that so many of us have. And it goes like this. If you happen to be single, how many times have people commented, I'm sure you'll meet somebody soon, or there's plenty of fish in the sea, or have you tried this or that dating site? If you were single, when was the last time somebody said, well, congratulations, I'm so happy for you. It's about time to, may you live single happily ever after. Probably never, right? if you're in a relationship, when was the last time somebody said to you, don't worry, you'll probably soon be single again. Sooner or later, all relationships come to an end. Or, poor you, I really feel for you. Is there anything I can do for you? Or, wow, you're in a relationship? You must really need a little alone time. Probably never, right? So what I'm trying to sort of highlight with this chapter
right.
is that the ways that we, as you said, react to somebody telling us that they're single shows us how strongly we believe that it's better, much better, to be in a relationship than to be single, you know, and that even that there's something wrong with you because you're single. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the stories that I subject to some myth-busting. And when we do that, what we see when we look around us is that, you know, there's a lot of people who are single. And are they all unhappy? No, a lot of them are happy. You know, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're unhappy. There's also a lot of people who are in relationships. Are they all, you know, happy and hunky-dory all the time? No, you know, often far from it, right? So just doing this reality testing makes us see that, you know, there's actually no connection between your relationship status, single or in a relationship, and your happiness. That actually what determines your happiness is not whether you're in a relationship or single, but it's your state of mind. It's your own attitude and thoughts about your current condition that is the cause of it. Because if it was true that it's better to be in a relationship than to be single, and that being single is awful, well, then it would mean that everyone who's single, you know, would go around being depressed and unhappy all the time, and that's certainly not the case. And also, if it was true that being in a relationship is the guarantee of happiness ever after, you know, everyone would, who's in a relationship would be happy ever after, and that certainly is not the case either. So it's very, very enlightening to disconnect those things from each other, our relationship status and our happiness, because actually they don't have anything to do with each other. Our happiness is actually determined by our state of mind. And again, the good news, and that's why I'm so fired up about this work, is that our state of mind, our thoughts and stories, is something that we can work on. It's within our power. I mean, how great is that? You know, because if you have to wait to be happy until your partner, you find the perfect dream partner, or you are no longer single, or if you get your partner to do this or that, hey, you may have to wait forever, right? And that's pretty depressing. But just thinking, you can work on that.
There's a post I saw one time on Facebook, and they had this old lady, you know, it's kind of like a wheelchair, all skinny, and she was looking at her back, just like a bone, just sitting there. And she had this thing that said, waiting for Mr. Right. You know, like she's old, about to step over to the other realm, and still waiting for Mr. Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of us doing that.
Indeed. And this is somebody who's not waiting for Mr. Right. Linda Liu, she said, I have to chime in here, boys. 10 years ago, no, she didn't say boys. I added that to it. I'm being silly. She said, 10 years ago, I had my last relationship. Took 5 years to come out of the devastation of it. However, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. I could not have gotten so comfortable in my own skin if it had not happened. I finally understand that is you, meaning her, that makes you happy and has nothing to do with any with the other. The best relationship is my life. The best relationship in my life is with me.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It's me with me. I like that.
That's a wonderful you know, confirmation of what we've just been talking about. And that's also what I hear from readers and people, you know, who read my book, and they come back and they share their stories, that reality is so much kinder than our stories, you know, that the reality, we have these, I mean, that's another of the 101 relationship myth, is that if a relationship at some point ends, it means it's a failure, you know, and that's such a poverty thought, you know, and instead of looking at the end of a relationship as with gratitude, even though it may be painful, I'm not saying that, but to look at it like, you know, what am I really grateful for? What did I learn from that? How did it make me, you know, why is my life better today? Because I went through this relationship and the challenges and even the deep pain that was in it. So, you know, it's such, the myth, again, the thing that happens when we're so attached to these relationship myths is that it impoverishes our lives immensely. Mm-hmm. But once we question them and see the reality, it's like, you know, love is all around, inside us,
yes.
In the air. This is it now.
Indeed. And I want to talk about, because this is important, we've talked about relationship, romantic relationship, and we haven't really talked anything about sex, but we're going to talk about it before you go. We're going to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you, not you and me. Not you and me, babe. Yeah, I'm just singing a song, okay? But before I do that, Linda said, I think she's referring to when she being single. She said, they used to call me an old maid. Now they just call me lucky.
Okay. Smart friend. Smart friend.
Like, you're lucky you're not in a relationship. Actually, before we talk about the sex part, where you in your book you talk about breaking the myth of strong sexual attraction means we are a good match. I want to talk about that, but before we do that, I had a thought, it disappeared. Okay, well, maybe we don't need to talk about that yet. Okay, let's go to this, because people want to hear that. I think the people wanted to hear, did you just say that? Yes, I did. Strong sexual attraction means we're a good match. I guess people wanted to hear that so much that it blew away my other questions. So you don't think when two people are together and they can take themselves to heaven and back sexually, and oh, they can see angels and the spirit guide and hear it, hallelujah, and they have no kin in the world, you're saying that's not a good match? Come on, man.
I love your definition of strong sexual attraction. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
It can be intense at times. Yeah, this story that strong sexual attraction means we're a good match, it was one of the very first relationship stories that I started myth-busting when I started this work. And the reason why I did it was because this is just a belief that I have just had throughout my life so strongly, that strong sexual attraction, being in love and, you know, getting high and hearing the angels sing and whatever, means that we're also a good match as a couple. And I've always believed that. So I subjected this to some reality testing, and when I did, the answer just absolutely blew my mind, because I could immediately see that even though in several of my past relationships there had been strong sexual attraction or even being madly in love, I could also see that when it came to what I call, in the book I call them core values, you know, the things that are really important to me as a person or in a relationship, they were not always a very good match with the woman. And so that was just, I could see, you know, when it came to you know, basic human, my values, what's important to me, what's not important to me, it was just such a big difference. And and that was just amazing for me to see, because I could then, that made me see that I had all the time used the strong sexual attraction as the compass for, you know, finding a partner or being in a relationship, rather than what I call more, you know, grounded wisdom of actually having a realistic assessment of who am I, Tim Ray, as a human being, you know, what are my values, what's important to me, not least when it comes to relationship, and then taking a good, realistic look at her and really listening to what she's saying, you know, when we're dating, and you know, what are her values, what's important to her, and then looking at, you know, is there really a good match there? Is there actually friendship? Because that's also one of the other things I've found out, that, you know, I think that one of the most important components in long-term harmonious relationships is that there's really this basic friendship, you know, the way that you can be with this person the way you are with your very best friend, right? I mean, just think about that you can share basically everything in a non-threatening environment, and the person, you know, loves you unconditional and listens and all that stuff. That's so important. And if that's not there, well, then no matter how strong sexual attraction you have, no matter how much the angels sing, it's going to be very difficult in the long run. And again, this is not just something that I'm saying. I mean, this is based on my own personal experience. And also, this is what I've heard, again, from so many of the people that I work with who have looked closer at this story. And also, conversely, if we see that strong sexual attraction doesn't necessarily mean we're a good match, well, what would then be a more sane and healthy way of, say, approaching dating or being in a relationship? Well, for me, the answer that comes to me is, actually, I've now invented for myself. I know it may sound a little bit old-fashioned in this day and age, but I have invented for myself, made this 5-day rule, which says no physical contact on the first 5 dates. Because if you do that, well,
when you say physical contact, what do you mean?
You don't have the prize,
no?
Right? The prize of sex luring in the back of your mind, right? Well, what are you going to do on the first 5 dates, right? Well, you're actually going to listen to what she's saying, you know, and she's going to listen to what
Tim,
you're...
Can you hear me? You said no physical contact for the first 5 days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean you can't give her a hug, but I'm meaning, you know, more of a more sexual nature, you know. Is that radical? Is that radical?
I'm not gonna, 5 days. Some people talk to 90 days, and then you say it's radical.
I wrote an article about this called The Dating Guide for the Awakening Human Being, and at first I wrote this article and I actually said 10 dates, and I got such an uproar of people coming back and said, Tim, you know, that's too much, right? And then when I looked
really?
At myself, I had to admit myself that I don't even think I can do 10 dates. So I lowered
really?
It down to 5 dates.
Wait a minute. Wait, brother to brother here now. Are you saying if you find somebody you're attracted to in a relationship with, that 10 days is too... Now, I'm really just
so
asking.
10 days.
10 days is too much before you can
Well, I think also, of course, it also depends on what you're looking for. Again, I mean,
right.
if you're just looking for an affair or something like that, well,
okay,
then it doesn't apply.
Yeah, you don't have no
but
date.
I'm more talking
right.
about people who are really looking for a long-term good match. Then I don't think 5 dates is too much, right?
No,
so,
I don't think 5, 10 is too much, especially nowadays because we relate romantic relationships to just sex. You know,
exactly,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, it depends on how someone's good in bed. You get turned on, and and once you include sex into this equation, then you know it's almost like teaching. How can I use what's the analogy that comes up from? It's like teaching a child. The times table, that 2 times 2 equals 4, and then suddenly you bring a professor who is so heady to teach them the rest about math, how to apply. It's like, wait a minute.
I think
to even bring, if you're thinking of a relationship where you want to nurture yourself, you want to use the relationship as a spiritual practice, for me, I don't think 10 days is, I mean, you know, let your spirit be your guide. If 10 minutes is what you can hold up to, fine.
Yeah, well,
but
obviously, the thing is important to say also, I mean, people are different, right? And people have different values, but if you're a person whose value, for example, is, you know, deep friendship and good communications and having similar values, and, you know, both being on a spiritual pathway, stuff like that, and then I think it's important. But, of course, if your only value is great sex,
getting laid,
you know, it may be less important, right? So, again, it depends on who you are as a person, which also comes back to one of the other important things that I write about in the book, again, the importance of getting to know yourself, you know, knowing a better relationship with yourself. Who am I as a person? What's important to me? What are my values? What do I want? What do I don't want? Because as long as you're unclear about that, of course it becomes very difficult to communicate that clearly to a partner or a potential partner.
I'm going to make something that may be considered a judgmental statement, but I want to go at this. My feeling is, the people who complain that 10 days is too long were mainly men. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think that's a judgment. I think maybe more that's just, you know, being more realistic about some of the differences in the ways that men and women in our society have been brought up, you know. And that comes back to, I think, that, like we talked about before with the women in the 30s and so on, that One of the other stories that I investigate in the book is this story that a lot of us have, that men and women are different. And I do some reality testing on that, and the results of my explorations have shown me very clearly that when it comes to our inner life, there's no basic difference between men and women. You know, we all function in the same way. The nature of reality is the same for both men and women. The way our minds work is the same for both men and women. In fact, when it comes to reality and the way our minds work, there's total gender equality. However, at the same time, we can also see that a lot of the time, you know, men and women do seem to speak and act quite differently. So why is that if the nature of reality and the way our minds work is the same for men and women. And the answer to that, I have discovered, is that men and women in our society, you know, we have been often programmed very differently. We have been programmed from birth on with different stories about, you know, what it takes to be a real man or what it takes to be a real woman. And because the way we've been programmed, that the stories that we're spoon-fed determines our behavior and our actions, then that sort of leads to this, it really does seem to me as if men and women are different. But it's actually,
right,
the differences don't actually come from reality. The differences come from the different ways in which we have been programmed.
Right, right. And there's another question I got to ask you because it just came up for me before I let you go. I know we've gone past our time, but I trust you couldn't stay. Can you stay about another 5-10 minutes?
Yes, absolutely. Last 5 minutes of the party.
Yeah, I know, right, because this game heated up already. But here's the thing. I think also we got to understand, period, because there's something about the feminine energy that we need to understand. There's something about the masculine energy we need to understand. I mean, it's like a fork and a knife. You know, there's some things you use a knife for. There's some things you use a fork for. You know, everything, there's polarity, what I call the duality of oneness. But sometimes we don't take enough time to understand one another and what makes a woman a woman. Why is a woman? I mean, not that, you know, the problem, but how does it work that a woman can carry a child inside of her? You know, you've got the sperm and the egg doing what they do. How does that work? Let's understand that. What really happens? Let's go back to the beginning. As you and I were talking about at the beginning of the show, that we are God. We are God in action. Let's go back to that. And when we understand the duality of oneness, the polarity, not as this opposing one another, it comes together. We have a better understanding of who we are and how we use and dance together, you know, how we understand as a man, you know, there's some people saying, oh, a man staying at home and a woman going to work, things are changing. What are you talking about? No. Everybody got to create for themselves what works in their house. If a father wants to stay at home to take care of the children, so be it. If a woman wants to go to work, so be it. If a woman wants to take out the trash and she's cool with it, what is the problem? But this is one thing I don't know if you want to say anything to that, but I got to ask you this question, and it probably gets so fired up now that I'm going to ask this question. So you want to add to what I just said, or are you ready for this powerhouse question that I'm bringing?
Well, I totally agree with you that understanding is the key, you know, the understanding and awareness of you know, the nature of this thing called life and how we work as human beings and how women work and men work. Absolutely. But I still also would say that I think it's important to look at many of the stories and beliefs that we have in our society from you know, centuries and millennia back about what it takes to be a real man and what it takes to be a real woman, because a lot of them I've found are really, really limiting for a man's full expression and also limiting for a woman's full expression. So I think it's important to have both, you know, the understanding, but also to question some of these deep stories that we have about, you know, the real man, you know, with the six pack and the, you know, only interested in you know, football and beer, and then, you know, the real woman who's the only the nurturer. Yeah. And so we have these really stereotypes, and they are very limiting.
Our ideas, our belief system is keeping us stuck. Now, I'm going to ask something this question. This was a powerhouse question. It just popped in my head. But I want to clear something up. I'm so glad I looked at the chat room because I haven't been able to look at it quite regularly. Someone, Alexa said, she's laughing out loud. She said, y'all got me ready. She said, she wants to know if I think 10 days was too long. No, if I do, I would admit it. I actually don't think 10 days is too long. I think for me personally, it's not too long. If you're willing, if you're ready, preparing, or just want to be in a relationship that you know, that you want to take time to understand one another. Because once you introduce sex, it's a whole different conversation. No, I don't think 10 days is too long.
You know, but sex can really cloud your judgment sometimes, right? So because it's a powerful thing, right?
Sometimes sex makes you think it's been 10 days and it'll only be one day. It's like, hey, 10 days is up.
Well, I mean, again, I've been there, done that. You know, I really burned my hand on that one so many times. So,
I mean, last month, or actually, I think it was last year. No, we met yesterday. Really? Wow. So here's the question. Now, there's a lot of conversation around it, saying men can't be monogamous. They can't be in monogamy. They can't be one woman. You know, it's like men are not designed to be with one woman, and it's just impossible. But we're being conditioned in the Western world to just be one woman. What do you think about that?
Well, again, I think it's important for me to point out that fundamentally what my work is about and also what the book is about, it's really not about my opinion. It's about myth-busting. It's actually about questioning opinions, both my own personal opinions and the opinions that we hear all around us in our society. So when you ask me that, you know, that men are only conditioned to be monogamous and not to be in just one relationship, well, if you subject that to some reality testing and ask, is that really true? Well, what's the reality of it? The reality, as far as I can see, is that it's different from man to man. You know, there are some men who are just, it's just not them. You know, that one relationship is just, one woman's not enough. And then there are also some men where it is. I mean, isn't that the reality? I think it's important to not make too many hard and fast rules about things, because every time we make these hard and fast rules, you know, men are like that, women are like that, you know, it becomes so limiting. So myth bust the story and then look at yourself and say, well, how do I feel about that, you know? Then try to live in harmony with that.
Right. And, you know, and that's really from your book, what I say, it's really looking at the beliefs that we have and really asking, is that true? How
for
do
me,
you know that's true?
Yeah, for me,
you know.
Find your own
truth.
Byron
Katie would say, go ahead.
Yeah, find your own truth, right? That's why I always say to, you know, when I lecture and when I teach, I always say to people, you know, don't believe what I say just because I say it. Investigate, experiment, and draw your own conclusions. And that's really what I would like to do. What I intended to do with the book was not just to share my own experiences and conclusions, but to give people the tools so that they themselves can do this work, so they can find what's true for them, not what's true for me, not what the women's magazines say, but what's true for you, what feels right for you, what does your heart tell you to do?
We can talk for days.
I know, it's a fascinating subject, right? Relationships.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's see. What time is it in Denmark right now?
Right now, let me look at the watch. The time is 7:45.
So
we're 6 hours ahead of you.
Okay. So we don't do shout outs on this radio network. We just don't do shout outs. We're just totally against it. But we have listeners that are listening. That if we did shout outs, how would you do a shout out to the listeners in Danish?
A shout out? Explain to me, what's a shout out?
Oh, okay. Now, that's very important.
As you can see, it's been a long time since my Atlanta years, you know, 20 years.
But, you know, that's important, even in a romantic relationship where there's this assumption that we think somebody knows something. You know, shout out when you say, it's when you say something like, okay, in the chat room, let me see who's in the chat room. In the chat room, we have within a shout out, you're acknowledging, saying hello to people in the chat room. We have Paul Saggy, we have Mother Wick, Silent Listeners, Vanilla Smile, with Electra, Teresa. You know, just acknowledge people. You call out their name and say a shout out to all the people in the
outside. Like that.
Well, we don't do shout outs. We're just totally against it. But if we did, you know, if we did and we actually did give a shout out to the listeners, those listening on the phone line, Tamara's listening, Blender's listening, how would you say that in your language?
Well, I would say that again, that sort of to really the important things, if you as a listener, if you find that what we've been talking about really speaks to you, again, the important thing is to question your stories, you know, to learn to question what you think or what other people tell you about love and relationships. That's really the key, you know, to every time you're upset in your relationship, just notice that it's actually not what your partner is doing or isn't doing that's the cause of how you feel. It's actually, it's your own thinking. That's not to say that your partner can at times be confused about things, but still your reaction has to do with your thinking. So when you're upset in your relationship, notice what's the thought. You know, what is the thought that's really making me upset right now? And then do some myth-busting. Is this thought really true? Does it have anything to do with reality or not? And if not, what would it be like to live more in harmony with reality? That's sort of the best. I mean, that's really what has worked. What really works for me has worked wonders in my own relationship life.
You know, it's funny
In my headset right now, I have my producer. She's saying that actually, if there are any listeners out there who are interested in exploring this more, I have actually we posted the first 30 pages of the book, an extract, on my website, which you can read for free. And the website address is www.beamteam.com. That's one word, BEAMTEAM.com. And there you get, I explain the getting real process and how to myth bust any relationship stories that may be troubling you at the moment. And also on my website, you can read lots of other stuff about my approach if this speaks to you.
And it's universal. Your book is a universal language because it's truths. It's the principles of life. The book, your mom's book as well.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
But I still got to get you to say this. Let me turn the sound for the listeners. They can't hear it. Just me and you talking right now. Can you tell the listeners how much we appreciate them in Danish? Because I want to hear it. But so now,
how much
I
appreciate them in Danish?
Yes, in Danish.
Here we go. I rører for vildt derude i Atlanta, Georgia.
And one more thing. Tell them to make sure they listen to the show every day, to listen to the archive, and don't go a day without Life Coach a day.
Okay, nu skal I høre alle sammen herude. Det er meget vigtigt, at I tjekker ind og hører det her show hver eneste dag, fordi det kan virkelig løfte jeres bevidsthed helt vildt. Og hvis I ikke lige kan høre det live, så gå ind i arkiverne og hør Life Coach a day.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Anyway, I love you. You're the first person I've talked to on a radio interview who's asked me to do that. Thanks. I hope I said something sensible, because what if there are actually any listeners out there?
Isn't that relationship, you know, sometimes the way to us that don't understand the language is like, what are you saying? In relationship, we're like, I don't understand what she's saying to me. I hear her mouth moving, but that's it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I trust the process. I trust the process.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also about something deeper than the language, you know. It's really about also the energy behind it, right? The words are actually just really on the surface, but it's really about what's underneath. You know, that the language of life and love is something that, as you say, it's universal. It doesn't matter where you are. And that's also my book now has just also come out in Korean, and it's going to come out in several other languages. And one of the things that I'm so pleased to see is that the relationship stories that I myth-bust, I can see that they're also universal. I really get it now, talking to people in Korea and everywhere else. And then they come back and they say, yeah, we have the same stories here.
Yes, indeed.
We're all the
same
as human beings, basically.
Yeah. Yes, yes. James, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed you, and I look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio. Maybe we'll bring you and your mom back.
We could do a triple, right? Mom, and son talking about getting real. That will be fun.
Mm-hmm. Careful now. Don't be talking about triple while we're talking about relationship now. I don't know. Just on the radio.
You could bring in Celeste, right? We have a quadruple.
Oh, a foursome on the radio. Okay.
I always look upon radio interviews as blind dates, right? It's a bit like you're going to talk to this person with often you don't know, right? And it's like so exciting because you don't know who is this person and what's he going to say, what's she going to say, and what's going to sort of arise from that.
Man, you so nailed it on the head, because that's most of the time it's like that for me. Sometimes most of the guests I don't speak to before the show. I only talk to them. And so I don't know if they're going to be engaged, if I'm going to ask them a question, and they'll say yes, no, or they just give me short. I don't know what's going to happen. So there's that anticipation.
That's exactly like the blind date, right? It's like you just
yeah, it is.
The same for me as an author, right? Being interviewed on different shows, and again, I have no idea what are they going to ask, what are they going to focus on. And so it's like instead of you know being intimidated by it, say, well, that's really exciting. Like you said in the beginning of your show, surrender to the rolling river of God. See where it takes
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Speaking of rolling river of God, thank you, my brother. I really appreciate you. When next are you coming to America? Are you coming in time soon?
I hope so. I mean, right now I'm working on spreading the news about this new book and talking. But I hope so soon. I mean, I live in Denmark, but I'm half American. You know, I've as I said, I actually went to high school in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have family in the States. So hopefully soon. I'll let you know.
Here's another crazy question. So when you think, do you think in Danish or do you think in English?
That's a really good question. Actually, my mom and I, we have actually just by ourselves, actually what has arisen is this language, this strange language that we call Danglish, which is actually a combination of English and Danish. And even when we sometimes talk together, you know, it's like half of the sentence will be said in English and then the other half will be said in Danglish. So even now when talking to you, it's like, okay, so now, Tim, you tune in. You know, this is what you want to say, but now it's in English, you know. It's not Danish, it's not Danglish, it's English.
Right. I understand that so clearly. Because sometimes if I talk to my father, I'm Nigerian. When I talk to my father, and sometimes if I get off the phone with him and go talk to somebody, I start off talking in English, and then I go into Yoruba. And I'm like, wait a minute. switch off. They're looking at me like, huh? Like, never mind. I'll just tune into my father. I'm still talking in Yoruba.
so maybe you notice it, too, when during our conversation, the same, you know, that I don't know if once in a while I did a little bit of Danglish, but that's now you know why, because I'm juggling these two languages.
I just can't wait to bring you back. It's going to be great. I think the next thing we need to bring you and your mom back to being
I think that would be really funny, you know, to talk all of us and we do sometimes do talk on the radio together, and that's really fun, you know.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah,
thanks
so much,
Adi.
And thanks to Celeste also for beautiful prayer before.
Indeed. Well, give my love to your mother and give her a hug for me. And
I will.
Her to give you a hug
her love
me.
Too.
Yes, indeed. All right, peace and blessings, my brother.
Yeah, blessings to you all. Bye.
Yes, and bye-bye. Woo! Life is good. It's getting better. At the end of the show, I'm getting crazier. So let me just... I had other questions that are just popping off in my head. It's like, now I've got to end. Now, I didn't want to do shows. Well, that's not true. I just never announced it. But it's time to go. It's time to release the show. Today's Tuesday, right? I'll be back tomorrow. No, I won't. I won't be here tomorrow, but Here to Inspire will be here. Well, Here to Inspire will be here, but Aisha will be here with Here to Inspire. I'll be back on Thursday talking with Robin Harris, who's traveling around America in her car, going on a freedom trip and getting to know herself, getting to experience life in a whole new way. Talk about a relationship, relating with people you don't know, having to not knowing where you're going to stay that night, but creating as you go. That's freedom. That's what we're focusing on this month, freedom. And we're supporting you to live your best life, to feel the freedom that you are. I'm so grateful. Check out Tim's website again. It's beamteam.com. His book is 101 Relationship Myths and How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness. And anything that you're dealing with and moving through right now, question your belief system. If you need help doing that, check out there's a wonderful teacher, Byron Katie. She has, I think it's four questions. The things that you believe about yourself. She say, is it true? Are you absolutely sure that it's true? I'm paraphrasing because it's not absolutely sure. It's something. But it's four questions anyway. So one is it true? Are you absolutely sure it's true? Something like that. And then who are you? Who are you being when you are not believing that thought? But at the website address, let me double check real quick before we release the show. The Works, I think. Is it the Works or thework.com? Let's try thework.com. You know, there's so many tools out there for us to do the work. Yes, thework.com is Baron Katie's
website, and there's a lot of videos out there. But we've got to ask ourselves some questions, or else we're just going to be going through pain and struggle, and all. It's not necessary. But if that's what you need, enjoy the pain, because the pain helps you pay attention inward now. For Saggy, Silent Listeners, Valerie, Vanilla Smile, Electra, Teresa, Tam Tam, Glenda. Hey, what am I doing then? They can't handle it. Tim, welcome for standing up, for being here and just standing for the brothers. Brothers, yeah, ladies, you need to share this with your men friends, your men folks. Tell them to come and get, or maybe they can listen to the archive, because they probably don't want to listen when the show is live, but I understand. It's time to release the show. I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Oh, my God, I am a trip. I am a mess. I know it. You don't have to tell me. I'm nuts. I'm crazy. You just say, I am. And I love the I am that I am. I am that I am that I am. It's time to release the show. I'm looking for a song to release. Let's go over Ricky Byers back with. This is a nice song to release the show with. And what I'm starting to tell you, check out the website, lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. We're updating it, as I said. Maybe leave a feedback. Maybe something you'd like to see on the website. But it's a lot of work, and just bear with us. Here's a song I want to... Ricky Byers back with. Where are you? Where are... She's right here. Here we go. Check out the Agape Choir. Check out AgapeLive.com. Agape International Spiritual Center. AgapeLive.com. Ricky Byers back with We Let It Be. I'm out of here. Be loved. Be true to yourself. And allow yourself to be loved. Be loved, beloved. I'm out. Peace and blessings.